Father, we thank you for answered prayers. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for us, even as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so good evening, everyone. And I'm hoping we're doing well. I think I'll just flow in the spirit of the prayer. So we're going to have a teaching just based on what we just prayed about. For some funny reason, I had to say, you know, let's have a repeated session of just one prayer. So those of you who were here very early, you realize that there were repeated prayer sessions up until the end. And so I'll just continue with the same teaching tonight. I am very sure that this is going to be a continuation of the teaching play on. I would want to believe that based on the lead that I received, it's going to be sort of, you know, a continuation, or let me say a plastering of the, you know, the building that has already been raised. So I would have to teach this because there is a need for us to know how to handle relationships. You know, there are various types of relationships. Last time I showed you how that, you know, people leaving is not new. Right from the beginning, we get to see examples of people who leave, and the emphasis was to make sure that you continue and it does not become a subject or it does not become a topic for discussion. I showed you typical examples. Jesus never said anything, the apostles never said anything, at least it was not accounted for. Paul never said anything also as well. And so we're going to value those examples, which are undisputable examples, look into how to handle relationships. And there are different ways to handle relationships. You know, there's a way to handle a relationship with yourself, a relationship with a son in the faith. You know, there are relationships that are family, relationships that are distant, relationships that disappoint, relationships with the faithful. You know, there are also strained relationships, toxic relationships, and, you know, different types of ways to go about handling relationship. But in the spirit of what we learned, we are going to take some time to look at what the scripture is talking about. And sure, it's going to be around relationships that disappoint. You know, there are relationships that disappoint. And Sometimes people never recover from these relationships that disappoint. You know, I remember quite a child, not too much of a good story. There was this dear woman. You know, as even a kid, I could remember, you know, she was very blossoming and very, you know, bright and cheerful. And then all of a sudden, we get to hear that she's not well. And we're trying to find out why. And apparently, she had been traumatized because of an experience. And sad experience. I was a child. I wasn't that smart enough, but I knew this was heavy. It was heavy. You know, she's getting married, and a few days to the marriage, like 2 days or so, you know, the guy cancels of the wedding with no reason. And, you know, it affects her mind. She's mentally derailed. And it's quite sad that such a good woman would go through something like this. Now, you wouldn't go through something like this in Jesus' name. Yes, you wouldn't. But you see, wisdom is profitable for direct, or is profitable to direct. So, as we teach you the word of God, it's going to become more clearer to you. In discipleships, you get to realize that somebody you're poured out into, the person is, you know, labored on. Remember, it's a continuation, or let me say a plastering of, you know, the message we had, or the teaching we had on play on, you know, the signs of handling those who leave. So these are always like knowing how to handle relationships that disappoint. So you see that there's a disciple you poured out into, you prayed for, you loved, and then something happens and it turns out that the person is not going to be available, or the person is not present, or the person is not around. How do you handle these relationships? Now, first and foremost, I laid out a foundation. If you've not listened to that sermon, you should listen to it, because it's going to be something I build on. I believe that. Yes, when I heard him lift the prayer topic, I was like, okay, let's just flow in the same spirit of what we have tonight. So sometimes the person you poured, you did something, you did this, then there's a disappointment, because there's an expectation of discipleship, and then maybe it turns sour. So the foundation of whatever it is we're discussing is that you should play on. Don't pay attention to whatever it is that's happening. Move on. Get someone else who's going to be discipled and continue with them. Make sure that you're not affected. Don't make it a topic. You know, in the church, sometimes somebody's around, the person is very dedicated, the person is giving, then you see that the person decides not to be around again. I showed you, Jesus did the same thing. On his hearing of John the Baptist's death, he knows how to focus on the work and not allow distractions, because that's a distraction. Anything that is said to bring in instability in the fold is a distraction. So you're going to know how to deal with distractions such that it does not shake the fold, even 0.01. Does not shake the fold, 0.01. Right? Does not shake anything. It does not mean anything. We come to that place of understanding that God will use anybody who is available. And so we are going to be open. Say, oh, hey, how will we survive? No, we're going to survive. We're going to do very fine. In fact, we're going to do much, much, much better. So there are relationships that disappoint. You know, that's also for discipleship. You know, there are friends that you have in a very natural sense. You know, today they call them besties. Hey, bestie, oh, bastos, besties, bastus. Bostos, beasties. Oh, you mean buy watch for this person? Besties, bestos, bastus. But then, buy watch since level 100 up to level 300. Then maybe, well, I'm creating a story. Their lost father, who was in Sweden, that they never heard from suddenly shows up. So it means that we are going to be receiving some money, right? Then the person tells you that, hey, Charlie, my lost father has appeared. And that time, it seems like you are low on cash. Then the person starts receiving money. Then you are so very grateful to God because you were there for this person. Then all of a sudden, it's like when you see them, you're trying to say best teeth, best toes, best test, best push, bash, push, pukudums, pukudums, tikadums, tagadums. They start to say, who is this? Who is that one too? Right? So you start to wonder, I mean, Jesus Christ, what is happening to me? I bought you food. I was there for you at a point in time. I had to even do this, do that. I even had to lie to my mom to pay your school fees and mine. Right? Ugudums, stukudums. And they look at you like this. They don't even reply your terms. You know, when you, those times when you say, bugudum, stugudum, they say, begadims. You know, I think it's a new term for disciple. Bugudum, stugudum, begadims. No. So what's that? We don't, what's, please, be formal. And you say, hey, you, trying to teach me formality. I mean, bugudums. I say, no, you know, now we don't do bugudums. We say, hello, sir. Hello, ma. How are you doing, sir? How are you doing, ma? I say, hey. And you know, in those times, if care is not taken, you would be very broken. Pestos. Say, no. You know, those things, we are growing. Say, you didn't know that we're growing last semester. You didn't know. It's now that you know that you are growing. So there are certain relationships that disappoint. Let me tell you, it will take a lot of wisdom to handle these relationships. A young man, you are in love with a girl. The girl is in senior high school. Her parents don't have money to pay school fees. Eja, you two, you are paying, you are working something small. You love this girl. Hey, when you sleep, you can't sleep. The salary they give you, you go and pay school fees. The salary they pay you, you buy school uniform. You buy slippers, buy shoe. Hey, with the intent that this person is going to one day, you know, appreciate you and you guys will get married because you have an investment plan. In the things that you're so there's almost like an investment. So you're saying, okay, this one I'm investing it into something. The girl is in school for 4 years, money she asks of you, school uniform you pay for her, this you do that, you go here. At a point in time, you make sure that you give her month, you take salary 800 cedis. But out of that 800 cedis, it's like she even spends like 600 to 680 of the money. So for 4 years of your life, you saved nothing, you did nothing, you invested in nothing, you bought nothing. There was nothing you did. You only just put it into this lady or you put it into this guy. Then after 4 years, you start to realize that she starts becoming some way. See, and that's why people like this, they never do well. Yes. It's true. An ungrateful person who who forgets easily and cannot remember, normally they don't do well. It's just a matter of time. You see that everything catches up some way or the other. So there are relationships that go sour at a point. They disappoint. They disappoint. There are expectations that are not met. How do you handle some of these issues that rise? I watched a news. The guy that was involved in something like just took a gun and went and shot the girl. Yes, and said he will go to prison. Life imprisonment, he will go. But Ankara, he has shot the girl. He has killed the girl. You see, that's something you're not supposed to do. Now, why did this happen? Is because he did not know how to handle relationships that disappoint. You have to listen carefully, oh. Listen carefully so that we don't get you caught up in that. Because at a point in time, you just might have a certain relationship. You love this girl, you've given your heart to her. Or the girl, you love this guy, you've given your heart to him. The first person that even broke your virginity. I believe that all of you are virgins in Jesus' name. But the first person, you said that it's not a problem. As for him, you give it to him. You have him as the one that, and then something turns out that he's not there again. So Paul had tremendously fulfilling relationships with men like Timothy. We're going to use that as a story, you know, as our scriptural emphasis, and then we'll see how we're going to deal with some of these issues. But already, remember, in our previous teaching on Play On, I told you that have a heart that knows to continue irrespective of what anybody else does. Right? Yes, just continue. So, there are relationships that disappoint. They disappoint. Some of you laughing on this thing, you've had some before, but you are just laughing inside. But you know that what Pastor is teaching today is a very serious issue. Let's not joke with it. You know in your heart of heart that this thing that he's talking about is a very, very serious issue. That's what they say. Anka, I was almost dying. I was left with the I was almost. So what Pastor is saying is very. Don't listen and be laughing. So Paul had relationships like this. And everybody in discipleship, in your natural relationships, your whatever relationships you share with friends, there'll be times where they disappoint. And Paul had a certain guy in his camp who left him very, very sadly. He was very sad. And he was called Demas. Demas. What did Demas do? Demas had left Paul when Paul needed him the most in the ministry. Now, he didn't just leave Paul. He left Paul for something that was not even for an eternal purpose. So he deserts him because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. You know those people in ministry? Yeah. Pastor. this evangelism discipleship, we can't really see where it's going. Hey, if I hear anybody make such a statement, hey, get them out. Who are those people saying that we don't know where we are going? We are not sure. Get out of the boat, Jonah. Don't sink our ship. Don't sink our ship. Don't do that. Say, we don't know where we are going. We are not sure. Discipleship is becoming... Hey. That's why I hate, you know, scared people. They're scared over everything. And I don't like them around. Scared over life. Scared over what will happen. Scared over... Just get out. Don't sink a ship. We don't want to have doubt in our midst. We don't know what we are doing. We don't know. Please. And that's what Demas is doing in this place. 2 Timothy 4 verse 9 to 10. I want it in NLT translation. Demas has deserted Paul. And you know what he's done? He's deserted Paul because he loves the things of this life. Many people desert the ministry. Paul was a typical example of ministry. But Demas is that guy who is in the ministry, but still some way somehow has love for the things of the world. So, He's there in the ministry, but he's not really there. He's thinking about money. He's thinking about if the promotion doesn't come, he's going to be bazaar. Look at me, pastor. Right now, I'm supposed to be traveling outside the country, but it looks like my visa is not working. Pastor, I have to... consider this very carefully. Pastor, it's now time for me to marry. So I need to... You are my pastor, but I don't think you are thinking about my marriage. And I am thinking about my marriage. So I need to marry. So Demas is that guy who is there in the ministry with Paul, but some way, somehow, his heart loves the things of this life. And you see, the reasons why you have to play on is because he has chosen in his heart that he was going to go for the things of this life and neglect and desert the ministry, which happens to be what Timothy was doing. So Demas is around, Demas is here, Demas is present, but some way, somehow, his heart doubts whatever is going on. He's looking at something else, you know, trying to question whatever it is that is happening because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. He would leave. Demas is that guy that will leave. Let one visa just open, he would leave. He doesn't care about anything about Christ. He's just probably doing it for a short moment because he's in school. He's in the university. Level 400. So he has seen people praying. So he's also go. The moment everything ends, he's finished with school. He chases another thing that is in the world. I pray that you will not become a Demas that deserts because of a love, something that you cannot make up your mind to. Yeah. Sometimes it's your husband. You are married, but your husband. Or sometimes you are a husband, but you are married, but it is your wife. And you are loving your wife, deserting the ministry, which happens to be an embodiment of Timothy. You are going into the world. So sometimes when I hear people teach this contextually, you know, on because he loves clubbing, that one is even less. He's in the ministry. He's there, he's present, but he's not there. She's there, but she's not there. Her heart is winning. His heart is winning. So, you see, why you as Paul will not have to be worried about the Demas that has chosen to love the things of this world. Well, you're going to pray for him, you're going to trust God for him, but you're not going to be so hurt that he chose something over whatever it is that's happening. He's deserted it. So there are relationships that disappoint. Demas walks out. He walks out. He deserted Paul. Defected him. He left. You see when he say, oh, the boy has dumped me. Oh, nowadays girls too dump. So let me add the girls. Oh, the girl has dumped me. Paul was dumped. And he needed more support than ever. Now, don't forget, though, Demas had been around. It means that he was around doing one or two things. She was around doing one or two things. That's what happens. I'll show you. See Colossians 4:14. See Colossians 4:14. He was around. During Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, Demas was present. He was there. Colossians 4:14, NLT. Demas was there. You see that? Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. He was there. His first imprisonment, he was with Paul. Send. Luke says, oh, let me send my. Demas also said, oh, send my regards to the church in Colossae. Means he was there. He was on the sound. He was in the prayer group. He was in the ushers department. He was even close to the pastor. The pastor at one time said, wow, that is a very diligent brother. But his heart is not there. He's looking for something. And when he finds that thing in Thessalonica, he will forsake you. You know, what I'm saying is true. See Philemon 24. Philemon 24. Philemon 24. Philemon is just one chapter. So, Philemon 24. NLT. You see? Paul makes reference to Demas being his co-worker. So, he says, so do Mark, Aristarchus. Aristarchus was an amazing guy. I'll tell you something about Aristarchus the next time. Demas and Luke. So you see what he says? My co-workers, they worked with me hands-on in the work of the ministry. But at a point, when the heat of the battle of life came, Demas couldn't stand it. Demas couldn't stand it. May you not be a Demas that cannot stand the heat or the pressures that comes with life and the ministry. May you not be. So in Colossians 4:14, Demas was present. He was sending out his salutations to the church in Colossae. In Philippians 24, he's present there again. And what is he doing? Paul attests the fact that he was a co-worker. Oh, he was my singer. He used to sing around. She used to sing around. But where is she? Where is he? He has Jaguar. Yes, he has Jaguar. Be careful of the things that you so love that you substitute for the work of the ministry. No matter what you have on your hands, make it a point to stick with the ministry. There should be flexible times enough for you to still make it work. It is all about your work and your work and your work and your work. Now, as exemplar as that is, you are failing woefully on what actually matters. And because you fail in what actually matters, it makes what does not really matter of no essence. Are you listening? So you're going to have a balance on both sides. Both sides. Both sides. I know I have to work excellently. I know I have to fulfill my job. I know I have to do this. But I also know that the ministry is priority. And so I'm not going to, you know, have an unhealthy balance between work and ministry, between academics and ministry, between whatever it is. Whatever it is, we all did some of you. We all did pharmacy. Hmm? You are doing medicine is not an excuse. You are doing what is not. We always studied courses. So Demas is a disappointment to Paul. Now, it was not only Demas. Men like Phygelus and Hermogenes were also present. Look at 2 Timothy 1:15. Listen to me. After these teachings, be ready and know how to handle relationships that disappoint. Are you listening? Number one, a foundational structure is that play on. I told you that I had friends who were in the ministry with me. They never chose the ministry. I didn't say that because they didn't choose it, I will not choose it too. No, I don't even pity them. No, I will not desert Timothy. I will not desert, Paul, for the world in Thessalonica. I won't do that. Okay, can we have the scriptures a lot more static? Thank you. Thank you. So, in 2 Timothy 1:15, he says, there was also these two guys. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted him. Paul, the kind of broken heart Paul went through. My God. Even Phygelus and Hermogenes. Paul is moving Mysia, Thessalonica, Colossae. He's moving, Bithynia. He's moving. Demas said, what is this ministry? What is this ministry? Oh, no, it's too much. It's too much. We are talking about money. You are talking about ministry. Paul. The same as Phygelus and Hermogenes. They deserted him. Relationships that disappoint. Now, he even says, everyone from the province of Asia deserted him. Everyone left him. See 2 Timothy 4:16. Still the same NLT. I want it very simple and clear. So this is a time where Paul is going to a trial before the judges. And nobody came with him. Everybody abandoned him. Now, his last phrase is what we are going to pay attention to and then expound on it. Maybe we'll have to continue tomorrow. So he says, the first time I was brought before the judge, he says, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. Then this is what he says. He says, may it not be counted against them. So while you move on, it means don't pay attention to hurt and wanting something to happen to them, wanting something bad to happen to them. Or say, hey, you suffer. But you don't need to say all of those things. You don't need to say all those things. So this was not the best time in Paul's life in terms of relationships. Right? So in spite of the disappointments, the feelings that came with the disappointment, Paul must have faced this. And he was diligent to keep his heart and his attitude right. So keep your heart and your attitude right. When people leave, don't wish bad for them. Don't make sure that you want it to be counted against them. But don't make sure that it affects you. You play on silently. So instead of harboring, you know, resentment against these individuals, Paul simply asked that it not be held against them. Oh, don't let it be held against them. But the funny thing is that that's a nice way of saying it on his side. You see, but there are some relationships it is wiser not to leave because you leave at your own deficit. Yes, it's true. You live at your own deficit. There are relationships that God placed. There are relationships that God set you in. There are relationships that God Himself put you in. The moment you exit those relationships, we pray that nothing be counted against you. Or Paul prays that nothing be counted against you. But there's a loss that comes with these relationships. That's why I always talk to you about supernatural relationships. It's not a mistake that you get to know somebody that is very much interested in your fulfilling in ministry. It means that it's very pivotal. It's like God's pivotal person for you. Yes, very pivotal. You'll be shocked to know that the moment that person is out, you might, I'm not saying you will, you might never fulfill God's call on your life. Look at, for example, look at Moses and Joshua. You know, Joshua, simple, would have never fulfilled his ministry if he had not stayed under the auspices of Moses and served Moses. In fact, it was through the laying on of hands that Joshua receives the spirit of wisdom. Now, Moses was given the promise of taking the people into the land, but Joshua continues in the assignment of Moses. Look at Elisha and Elijah. There was no way Elisha was going to be the Elisha we all know today if he never sticked to that relationships of Elijah. Look at Jesus and the disciples. We see what happens to Judas, who exempts himself from the plan of God. Relationships are key. And I want you to know that they disappoint, but I want you to further place premium on these relationships so that you don't become the disappointment of the relationship. And you also know how to handle the disappointment that comes from other people when they exit relationships. May it not be counted against them, Paul says. We can have that example in our midst. May it not be counted. May it not be counted. Lord, may it not be counted. But I'm telling you also the wisdom behind God's profitable relationships in your life. So we see that Judas decides to leave. A typical example is Paul and Barnabas. The Lord calls Paul and Barnabas, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul for the work of a ministry which I have commanded unto, committed unto them. Separate unto me these two. They have a work together. There's a sharp this contention, or there's a sharp contention between the two of them. Barnabas goes his way. Paul goes his way. We don't get to hear of Barnabas any longer. Barnabas is lost. Paul fulfills the ministry. In fact, you always find me make the reference of how Paul later on goes to find out Timothy. He picks Timothy. Old Timothy, from thy childhood, thou hast known the holy scriptures. So he picks Timothy, a young boy, trains Timothy up, and Timothy continues in the ministry that God had given to him. See, there are things as supernatural relationships. Don't be the one that disappoints, and also know how to handle disappointments when they come. And I said, Another very key response is that may it not be counted against them. The first one is to keep silent and play on. Keep your focus and continuing. The second one is that may it not be counted against them. We don't wish bad, we don't wish evil, we don't curse, we don't speak against, we don't gossip, we don't backbite. May it not be counted against them. So you see, let's look at another example before I quickly close. Jesus also experienced relationships disappointment. He's disappointed. At a point in time, he's abandoned and he's forsaken by the people. In fact, there was a time in Jesus' ministry, see something, John 6, 66 to 68. I want the NLT. Today, we'll just dwell around NLT only. We won't do KJV, NLT. His congregation just went down. Oh. John 6, 68. 66 to 68. Congregation gone down. He says, at this point, many of his disciples turned away, deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we want to go? You have the words that give eternal life. Many. When the Bible says many, I would want to assume there are many. Then he turns to the 12. Are you also going to know? You see, Jesus has this play on mentality. Do you see that? So continue. Let it not be counted against them. Let's continue. Let's keep the focus on what we have. Let's keep at it. Let's continue in it. Let's not stop it. Let's make sure our hearts are continuing in the work. No harboring of hate. When your girlfriend leaves you, continue. She's not the only girl. Relationships that disappoint. She's not the only girl. Find another girl and love again. It will work. And it's working. When the boy says, it's over, say, hey, my pastor has already taught me how to handle relationships that disappoint you. So if you say that is over, you think I'm coming, be begging you and lying down. Please, can you leave me? I can't live without you. I can't. You say, Jesus, I can't live without you. And my heart, Some of you start getting what you call it, temperature. Your temperature. That's the first thing of heartbreak, oh. Temperature. Huh? Your body will become hot all of a sudden. Let me say, Pastor, have you experienced it? Honestly, I've not. Because I've put my faith in Jesus. My anchor to the core. If we're with a keyboard, I'll let somebody sing. It's a Barry or a Kelly or anyone. Harvard Foundation, you never let me down. I don't know if the words are right. Put my faith in Jesus. Put it in Him. Yes. Yeah. So you are going. Play on. Let it not be counted against you. So we move forward. But I'm telling you, I'm giving you some additional wisdom that tells you that there are some relationships that are profitable for you. So Jesus turns, are you also going to leave me? He says, where are we going? To you. You have the words of life. So in the situation just described, right? Peter and the rest of the 12 stayed loyal to Jesus, even though many others defected. But you see, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the same Peter, James, and John, they did not stay awake to pray with Jesus as he requested. You know, the reality is that people won't always do the right thing. Are you listening? They won't always do the right thing. Okay. They won't always do the right thing. They will disappoint you. Maybe sometimes not leave per se, But they break a certain functional code in the relationship. It's like you're always arguing with your girlfriend or your sister in Christ, who you are hoping to become a very good. You are always arguing. Why? It's one fight after the other. I'm asking you, you that is listening to me. You don't have an answer for me. Okay, let me continue my teaching. So, you see that people, they won't always do the right. So you have to be very accommodating, very understanding. Yes, very understanding. Like you must understand. You must understand. Because I don't understand. Okay. Then don't get what you are looking for. Well, Pastor, I can't just wait to fall in love to get married. Don't get married. These are realities you are about to face. So you better be ready that people won't always do the right thing. And you know what, the guys? Let me give you something that helps you very, very much. Are you ready to listen? This one is chief advice. Are you ready to listen? Or I should keep it? Okay, let me keep it. I'm going to keep my advice if you're not ready to listen. So it's chief. It's a game changer advice. It's a game changer advice. It will change the whole game. Yeah. You are ready, eh? Okay. Begin to see whoever it is you are in any kind of relationship with as your kid sister. It helps a lot. Don't see them as your co-equals. I expect you to be this smart. They will not be smart. They will. Oh my God! You are saying it's right. They'll show you some skills, and you want to open the floor, enter, and close the floor. The earth should swallow you. You want to repeat what happens in Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You want to repeat it. It's a repeated. You just wish that. I want to enter the ground. Oh. Can you imagine that? So she throws it at you. She knows the spots to throw it at you very well. You are pricked in your heart and stared, not spiritually, from this, from a spirit inspired emotion. You are pricked. Can you imagine? No, they are your junior sisters. So junior sisters, handle them like, when you see them misbehaving, you just say, oh, she's my junior sister. You go out with her, that's my junior sister. She's my junior sister. Or when you go to a house, you meet my junior sister there. You see, when it's your junior sister, you treat them carefully. Like you don't really... Because they are your junior sisters. The ladies also don't use this as a care-off to be stubborn. We are filled with the Holy Ghost, right? So we are going to be always led by the Spirit, full of love, right? And acting on His word. So Jesus, in His garden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, even though He has Peter and the 12 disciples not going away, right? Right there in the garden, they slept throughout. So they were not able to offer support to Jesus in the midst of His great struggles. You know, don't worry when people were supposed to help you in a certain way and they never could or they never did help you. No, look to God for your help, not man. Then they arrested Jesus. guess what? All the disciples fled. But you see, in John 6:66, they were saying that, to whom shall we go? Right in the next chapter, they fled. They fled for their dear lives. Peter was braggadocious, explaining, expounding, will never leave you, will never desert. He was gone. They couldn't find him. Denied Jesus 3 times, that he never knew him. Swore on his life, I've never worked with him my whole life. I don't know who this man is. You must be careful. What did Jesus do wrong to have his disciples deserting him? Nothing. He didn't do anything. Jesus didn't do anything. An innocent savior who wants to come and die for a sinful people. And the sinful people are the issues, but that was the issue. What did Paul do to cause his disciples to abandon him? What did Paul do? What did Paul do? Paul didn't do anything. I'm sure Paul rebuked Demas one time and he said, hey, Demas, you can't be following things of the world. Demas said, hey, we will follow things of this world. We will go follow things of this world. My heart is in working at Trasaco. We'll go. Pastor wants to restrict us from exploiting our financial prowess, and Pastor wants to, so, you know, I've really been really considering this ministry. Oh, you are a Demas, and you go, and it will not be, will not account it on you, yet still it will not affect us, and there will be a Timothy that will come. Yes, even my teachings are prophetic. I'm sure by now he's slapping people like this on their cheeks. Pa, pa, to pie. This is the power of the teaching ministry. Yes. Jesus taught some people. They were provoked. Instead of them should sit down and listen to what he's saying, they were provoked. They were angry that he was able to say those things to them. They were provoked. They were angry. They took offense at the words of Jesus. You are taking offense at my words. That's what you are doing. Taking offense at what I'm teaching you. Your heart, there's something that is not really, you are taking offense at what I am teaching you. Somebody's got to be crazy. I'm teaching you, you are taking offense. I'm teaching you, you are taking offense. You better listen to the teaching and change your heart. If you are a Demas, you change it. If you are a Phygellus, you change it. If you are a Hermogenes, you change it. Not that you sit down and you are taking offense. So what did Jesus do? He didn't do anything. What did Paul do? He didn't do anything. He just wants you, Demas, to just serve the Lord. That's all. Now, you see, when others did the wrong thing, it was not, you know, indicative of problems with Jesus and Paul, right? Rather, it revealed deficiencies in the lives of those who were supposed to be helping them. Yeah. I'm supposed to be helping you. Many times you listen to me, everyone. You know, don't take it personal if anything goes wrong in a relationship. If a falling out occurs, you know, sometimes you tend to blame yourself, tend to condemn yourself mercilessly. You know, assuming that the situation is entirely your fault. Or maybe if I was a good disciple. Now, there are times where you actually are the reason why the relationship never worked. But it's not all the time. It's not all the time. And many times, it is important to remember that at such an occurrence, you know, there might be a reflection of the other person's character and probably not necessarily an indictment against your character. So you have to look at it. If you are the one, own up and change the issue. See how you can make it work. See how you can apologize. See how you can, you know, foster in the relationship. But if you are also not the one, then it's not you. Because of you, I can't say that I'm going to stop saying it very openly. I have to say it. Or because of somebody, I can't say that because of somebody, I can't teach in a certain way. I have to teach it. Yes, so I teach it very openly. Yeah. Yes, you can't say that because I can't teach. I have to teach it. And I'm not going to be merciful in teaching it. I'm going to teach it the way it ought to be taught. So don't automatically assume that every problem in every relationship is automatically and entirely your fault. Then God was the one who was at fault first in relationships. Yes, because we see that he created Adam. And he raised them properly, instructed them properly, and they still ended up going in the wrong direction. Then God should have been the one who does not make relationships work. He should have been crying by now and worried by now. So know how to handle disappointing relationships. Number one, you play on. Number two, right? Let it not be counted against them. It happens in life to experience a disappointment. Sometimes your boss is trying to do something and he breaks the relationship in a certain way. And then there's no relationships. Know how to handle those relationships that disappoint. You're working with somebody, it looks like the relationship is not the way it used to be. Know how to handle. Don't just be there. You are insulting them and you are saying bad things about them. No. Guard your heart from bitterness. And don't let a past disappointment keep you from being open to developing healthy relationships in the future. Now, people may disappoint you, but God will not disappoint you. So we're going to pray a short prayer in 10 seconds or maybe 20 seconds. That God will help you not to take everything personal when you experience these relationships that disappoint. That the Lord will help you to be gracious when others don't do what you think they think you should do or what you think they should do. Pray that there is a largeness of heart to handling relationships. See, there are people who are very much hurt in their lives because supposedly their fathers were not there when they became 24. Now their father showed up. They are hurt. Anytime they see anything like that, it's a very dangerous thing. I worked in a pharmacy, and then a man came into the pharmacy, and the lady called him daddy, and he slapped the lady in my pharmacy. Yes, we don't know if he was mentally deranged. No, he just doesn't like the sound of the word daddy. He doesn't like, he slapped the lady. Lady cried like a baby. Just because the lady called him daddy behind the counter. I'm sure he had a daughter that he lost, or a daughter that went wayward, or a daughter that said something to him, but he didn't know how to handle these relationships that disappoint. So you're going to pray that God will, via the teaching, you know, a lot of wisdom coming to you on how to handle relationships that disappoint. Listen to me. There are people that will leave, but you must know how to handle it. You must know how to handle it. You must be vexed at handling it. Like God, the choice is theirs, but you continually pour in the counsel. Leave them to choices, but you continually pour in the counsel. You give in, you show them the word of God. You teach them the word of God. You explain. But the choice, as the counsel comes in, is entitled to them. And when they make choices, be like God, who sits back, relaxes, and allows them to have their choice. Are you listening? Don't get into head. Rather, you will find ways, if there's a possibility, to save them from whatever it is. But people are entitled to choices. Only the word of God, as you teach them, as you explain to them, as you expound to them, as you, you know, make the word of God known to them, they are finally entitled to making whatever choice they want to make. And I know that very well as a pastor. You know, I know that in as much as, what do you call it? I'm your pastor. I can tell you what to do. I know a certain boundary. Yes, I know a certain boundary. When I see that I'm crossing a boundary, I stay back and I use the word of God. You deduce from the word of God and listen to the choice, but you will make the choice. All right? So there's going to be no hurt. There's going to be no holding back. We're going to play on. If anybody at any point in time lives in this place, listen to me and listen to what I'm telling you. You will be shocked. We are going to play on like you never existed. And we're going to learn to play on like they never existed. We're going to trust God for them, but we are not going to allow that affect the work that we have to do and affect what we have to do. Praise God. We're going to go out and get some more filled in the Holy Ghost, get them discipled again, you know, get them hearing the word of God again. Some of you have had some key disciples who at a point in time left you, and it seems to be worrying you. Listen to me and listen to me very carefully. Play on. Are you listening? And count it not against them, right? It means we're going to go out and get some more. I think the Lord told me this sometime. He says that I had this, I believe, from an experience. And he says that he sort of like spoke it to my heart. He said, don't protect what you have that much. Fight to bring in more. Fight to bring in more. So, you see, sometimes we are busy protecting disciples, just bring in more. Bring in more. I'm not saying don't protect at all. I'm saying don't be overly protective of what you are protect. No, we are going to fight to bring in more. And as we fight to bring in more, more will troop in and more will come in. So don't worry about somebody that left, a girlfriend that left you, something that you did, somebody's not really... father, mother, they left you, they appeared at a point in time, someone said something to you, is hurting you. No, I want you to be firm on this. You're going to play on. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you for clarity. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that our hearts are strengthened to handle relationships that disappoint. Relationships that disappoint. Relationships that disappoint. And the last thing I just sense on telling you this is to pray in tongues more often. When you get to a relationship that disappoints, pray in tongues more often and continue in what God has called you. There's God's mark on you and his call is on you. And the word gets stronger. The word gets more efficient. Your heart gets stronger. Your heart gets more wired to handle these things in love and in maturity and in understanding. Don't be hurt by what somebody else did. No, you just continue. Are you listening? Learn to continue with whatever it is that you are doing. Keep at it. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. Keep at it. And God will give the increase. In Jesus' name.